All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your own good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of the Lord for today. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, that passage kind of troubles me a little bit. Mostly because when it comes to Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, so we get into somatics, so we kind of get stifled with things going on. Like, you know, traditionally it's been Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, we decided that, no, we don't like Holy Ghost. Nope. Ghosts are scary. I don't want to be talking about a Holy Ghost, not me. Nope. So we made an executive decision. I don't know who did it, but I agree with it. That changed it to Holy Spirit. Because it sounds just way nicer. Ghost sounds scary, and you know, we don't want to think of our God as being scary and judgmental. We would prefer to see God as compassionate and nurturing and caring. Ghosts, you know, hey, my kids say there's a spirit in my house, so I don't go downstairs in the dark. Nope. But the interesting thing about it, like this book, which we use as our guide, it's the Word of God, has Spirit is He. I don't know when that happened, but the original Hebrew is Ruach, and the word Aramaic, Rucha, they're feminine. They've always been feminine. Right from the beginning, the Spirit was feminine. So one of our three Trinity pieces, which are on the front of your bulletin, is feminine, has been right from the start. And if you, it's also up there, but if you look at the Trinity symbol, every one of those circles is equal. It's not a circle, but every one of those is equal. No one is more important than the other one. You put them all together, and all three of them come together and make the middle. So all of them are important. And I just put Holy Spirit first because that's what I started my talk with. It's nothing to do with the fact that it's more or less important, because it's not more or less important. It's important, period. Now, when you get to the Son, we even have problems with that. How do we have problems with that? We have the people who go and say, well, Jesus of Nazareth was not white. Jesus of Nazareth was Middle Eastern. He was not white. Well, that's true. I can't argue with that. But we don't follow the man, Jesus, we follow what he taught, what he did, how he lived. We follow what I call, what most people call Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ can be however you perceive Jesus to be. Now, if you're in Africa, most likely Jesus would be black. Here, most cases, he's white. We do know he's a he. That's not an issue. In the, like, in Asian countries, most likely he's Asian. And you know what? That's okay. It's how you perceive Jesus the Christ. Now, I brought some props. I rarely do that, but I brought some props. Now, the way I perceive Jesus, this picture came out in the 70s, 1970, and it was written. It was drawn by a United Church minister, and it was used in the Sunday school curriculum. This is one of four. This is the only one that survived. This. Has anybody seen this before? Yeah, most people have seen this before. Does anybody know what it's known as? It is known as the Laughing Jesus now. That is very true. You know what it was originally called? It was originally called Jesus Christ Liberator. And when you look at the actual title, Jesus Christ Liberator, it's way more powerful than the Laughing Jesus. Because that is what Jesus did. He liberated. He turned things on their heads. He liberated things. He liberated us. He liberated everyone. If we choose to be liberated. We can get stuck in the semantics. We do. We get stuck in the semantics and then we don't actually adhere to what Jesus Christ, the Liberator, showed us. Now, I'm not saying Jesus didn't laugh. I'm sure he laughed. Not there's any reference in the Bible that he did, but he was human. He probably picked on his siblings too, just like we all do. But Jesus Christ, Liberator, is way different than the Laughing Jesus. And you know that this is the only one of the four that survived. I looked for them. I can't find any reference of them anymore. I wish actually that I hadn't thrown out all those Sunday school things that I kept, because then I'd have copies of the other three. But this is the one that survived. And there's a reason it did, because Jesus Christ, the Christ, is our liberator. I have this hanging up in, well, I used to have this hanging up in my office. Now it's just sitting on a shelf because I keep taking it down and using it. So, but Jesus, even Jesus, we get into the stuck in the semantics. How do we do that? I don't understand. Well, because we're human. We really, really try to turn God into a human. And yeah, that doesn't work. Or we try to make us into God. God, the third part of the Trinity. Now, for semantic purposes, I've used parent because some people don't like the word father. Because some people had a really horrible father as they were growing up. Like, heck, my father was not the best person. He was a piece of work, he was. But that doesn't mean God is a horrible parent, a horrible father. That makes no sense. Like, why do we put human attributes to God? Well, I know why, because we're human, and we try to equate, I think, to us. Because we run this world, we're God. Yeah, no. We try to be. Has anybody seen the movie Bruce Almighty? What happened there? He tried to be God. It didn't work well, did it? No, not at all. He made a mess of things. just shows you that when we try to be God rather than do God, we got problems. God created us. We did not create God. God created because God is parent. Well, that was interesting. God is male and female. God is both. How can God not be both? Has to be. God made us. It's got to be both. Makes sense to me. Like, I am more masculine than a lot of people because I feel very, very uncomfortable in a dress. I feel very, very uncomfortable in makeup. I tried it when I was younger, and it was like, oh, no, I don't have, no, I don't like this. I'm not comfortable at all. I can't move. I just, ugh. But I'm still female, but I'm also male. Like, I love sports. When I was growing up, my dad, not my biological father, but the dad who married my mother when she had three kids. He took on a wife and three kids at the age of 40. Built a house for us. Took us to hockey games. Like, I can call a play on a hockey game before a referee can. Because I was raised on hockey. I've been to football. I don't like football, but I know football. I used to keep score at baseball because Dad would take me to baseball games where he was an umpire. I like curling. I like bowling. But I also like, as you can tell, I also like dealing with kids. I loved being a mother, stay-at-home mom. Loved it. A lot of work. Hard job. But I loved it. And when you look at my life, my dad was actually more nurturing than my mother was. But then again, she also had four kids under 10 that she was dealing with 24/7. Like, yeah, that's hard work. But the thing I most remember about my dad was that when my mom was regional director for Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, she was the regional director of the Alberta chapter of the Canadian Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And in that position, she had to go on conferences. And she had four kids. And the one I really remember was that she had to go to Ottawa. Like, you can't get much further away from Calgary than Ottawa. And she went there for a week because there are these conferences going on with Mila Mulrooney, who was a patron of the Canadian Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, as well as Prime Minister's wife. So there's Mom all the way over in Ottawa for a week, and Dad, he took over. He still went to work. He got us to school. He got us our medication. He fed us. He watered us. He looked after us. He still took us bowling. But just shows, like, he was more nurturing in that respect than my mother was. My mother was more, like, she went out to conferences. She did the, quote, male things because she was out doing this business stuff, which she really, really enjoyed doing. And she was very good at it as well. And she worked with the Canadian Cystic Fibrosis. And she started out volunteering, and then she ended up being the paid office administrator before she retired. And so she went through a volunteer, where we actually had the phone in our house. She went to being the Calgary chapter president. She went to the Alberta regional director. And she went to Ottawa. Like, and this was back in the 60s and 70s. Like, basically unheard of back then. But she loved it. And Dad loved her doing it. He embraced her gifts. He embraced her gifts. And I look back at that and I think, you know what? I was darn lucky. I was lucky to be able to have a family that embraced everything about each other. Dad would take us bowling so Mom could just have time for herself. Or she'd take us bowling and so she could go Christmas shopping if she wanted to without the kids. And he embraced that role. It's not that he was babysitting us, because he wasn't. He wasn't our babysitter. He was our father. He was our dad. And that's what God is. God is our parent. He's embraced us. Like we've got, every one of us has feminine qualities. Every one of us has masculine qualities. Now, anyone who's met my daughter, Joy, who's sitting over there, most people have met her. Of course, the one day, today, she's not wearing a dress. The one day, she's not wearing a dress. She always wears dresses. She said it was too cold. Anyways, but she's very feminine. She wears dresses all the time, and she is very feminine. Yeah. Except for when she belches. Yeah. This is a story that I will always remember. We were at the Blackfoot truck stop. It was Bob, me, Joy, and Keith. We like the Blackfoot truck stop. We still go there for Christmas. And we were eating there. We were having a good time. And she was probably around 9 at the time. And then this huge belch comes out. Dead silence. The place was full of truckers. Dead silence. And then, good on ya, girl, good on ya. Like, that's not a perfect example of a contrast between male and female in one person. I don't know what is. Like, oh my goodness. And this is a story, we tell quite regularly. Like if I say, well, it reminds me of a story in Blackfoot, and then Keith or Joy go, oh, you mean the one where she belched? Said, yeah, that's the one. That's the one. But going into the semantics of God. Okay, we think of God. How many people think of God as someone with a long beard sitting up in the heaven? That's how we've seen him quite regularly, God like that. Yeah, no, I think that's Gandalf. Or it's Moses. It's not God. It's funny, going back to Bruce Almighty, I kind of picture God as Morgan Freeman. Because I just like the way he portrayed God. Very different. But a really, really weird way to think of God. Has anybody read this book, The Shack? It's a very old, well, I don't know how old, it's a pretty old book. But the hero of this story, he ends up in an accident, ends up in a coma. And his life is being, he goes to visit God in God's garden. And God is a big black woman. Now, I have a friend who I told this story to, and I said, you should read it, it's a really good book. And he said, oh no, I can't. I said, well, why not? Because God's a white man. I said, well, you know, you kind of missed the point. The point is that this particular big black woman is what this guy needed to topsy his world, to open his eyes. He needed someone that was not the normal vision of what most people think of as God. Most people don't think of God as a big black woman. Yeah, me either, but that's beside the point. But that was what this particular character needed to live, learn a lesson about life. Now, Jesus was probably in his 20s, short blonde hair, blue jeans, a standard tool belt. You know, okay, yeah, I can live with that. And then the Spirit. Oh, the Spirit. She kind of just floated around, and it was a she. She floated around in long dresses, flowing hair, and then she'd kind of just appear, and then she'd disappear, and she'd fill you with spirit, with wind, and then it would go away, and you know, it was kind of actually very soothing. I happened to like wind, so I found that very soothing that the Spirit was an ethereal woman. But the number of people who couldn't read that book because of the fact that God was different. That God was not their God. So I can't read about that. Now, you miss out on a lot of things if you're not willing to expand your mind. If you're not willing to open the door to something different. It would be like me, if I need to be told off, or if I need my eyes opened, it would be like, instead of Morgan Freeman in my dreams, it's Eminem. Can't get much different than that, but it would certainly open my eyes. And that's what God does. God wants us to open our eyes. He wants us to think. He wants us to believe. I'm already past insert dad story. Anyways, but we need to respect everyone else and their vision of God. I remember one time I was asked to pray. I was at a worship meeting at Westminster United Church, and I was asked to pray. So I said, okay, fine. And I started praying, and I just have a tendency to use the word Father. I just do. And so I started praying, and I was praying, Father, and then I heard this voice, and this voice yells out at the top of her lungs, Mother. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, that's kind of rude. Like, fine, you are allowed to. If you want to believe that God is Mother, you go right ahead. And if you want to pray when it's your turn to pray, if you want to pray to Mother God, fine, do it. And I certainly won't yell out Father, or I won't yell out Lama, or I won't yell out something else. Because we need to respect other people's beliefs. And if you believe that God is female, yes, God is female. If you want to believe God is male, yes, God is male. If you want to believe God is parent, yep, God is both. God is male and female. And that's a hard thing for a lot of people to grasp, because we're just used to Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's why when you look at that, I changed it to parent, because a parent is both. A parent is everything. A parent nurtures, a parent disciplines, and it could be your father disciplines you. Oh man, when my mother said, you wait till your father gets home, I was scared the rest of the day. And my dad would come home and say, this is going to hurt me, then it hurts you, more than it hurts you. And it probably did, because I got one swack and he had to deal with it, with the fact that he was the bad guy. That had to have been hard for him. But I can also understand why Mom did it, because we would push her right to the breaking point. Kids do that. My brother knew exactly when to stop. Poor Mom. He left her hanging. Poor thing. But parents are the ones that nurture us. Both parents. It doesn't matter if your father was a, well, piece of work, or whether your dad was a nurturer, or whether your father was absent, or whether your mother was absent. There is still some sort of father or mother influence in your life. Like when I was growing up, my mother, she was a stay-at-home mom, all the kids ended up at our place. After school, they'd end up at our place because it was a safe spot for them. And they knew they were okay. And all the parents knew where they were too. They just knew, oh, yep, they're down at the McNabs. It's all good. Because that's the type, that's the type of nurturer my mother was as well. Like, it's not as if she was not a nurturer. She just nurtured in a different way. It was easier to nurture other people's kids because you could send them home. Can't send home your own kids. You're stuck with them. But God made this world. And God made it wonderful. God created the world and he said, it's good. It's really, really good. Let's keep it that way. Let's keep our world wonderful. Let's keep our Trinity sacred. Let's keep our life on point. Let's follow the life of Jesus, not the body of Jesus. Let's follow the nurturing wonderfulness of God our parent. And let's embrace the wind that actually really nurtures us more now than at the beginning, because it's there all the time, everywhere, in every part of us. Go out there and raise your head to the wind, even if it's only as long as 3 seconds, because that's all most people can handle. And let the Spirit of God blow out the cobwebs that our semantics put in, that our world puts in, that our world wants to bind us with, so that we don't actually live the life that God wants us to live. Let's not stifle ourselves. Let's have a moment of reflection.